In 2014, when Emily graduated from university, she was dealt with a shocking blow. She was rejected from every firm she applied for. Fast forward 1 year later, and the firms that rejected her all offered her employment. And the ironic thing, the corporations were so desperate to recruit her that they offered her more money than the standard starting salary. We speak to her now about the drastic steps she took to boost her employability and how she managed to change her fate. Emily, you're incredibly talented. So in 2014, when you graduated from university, you had a distinction average, you had relevant work experience in finance, and you also had leadership positions in student organizations, but you didn't get a job. Were you initially confident you were going to get a job?
I reckon at that time, because you did the extracurricular, you did the part-time work, you put the effort in when you're studying, you sort of you think you're all right and in a better position than your peers. But at that stage, you've never really done any formal interviews. You've never been into corporate organizations that are more larger in scale. So when I actually went to my first interview, I was so nervous. I think by the end of it, my whole palm was wet. And then when I was drinking in front of them, it was the most unnatural thing. I think I took up my cup and then I was trying so hard not to have the cup shake. And then it was just a horrible first interview. I think in one of my video interviews, I actually ended up dropping the F-bomb. I guess it came as a surprise to me because I thought I was so prepared. But if you've never done an interview before, then your nerves really just
get the better of you, right? But speaking of anxiety, you went into the graduate season quite confident that you were going to secure a job. But when you did end up getting that rejection call, how did you feel? Did you feel down in the dumps, like this was the end of the road? Or did you think, okay, I'm going to rise up and I'm going to accelerate?
I think it's both. But like, I mean, I remember distinctly there was this moment where I think I dropped an F-bomb in some sort of video interview and I got a call back from the company and the girl just absolutely destroyed me and said, you know, you can't put you in front of a client and have you drop an F-bomb, etc., etc. And I just went into my room and I jumped on my bed and just did the longest sigh ever. And I guess you just need to let it out, allow yourself to be sad. Like sometimes I think we try to move on so fast and brush past certain things, but like it's okay to be upset. Like it's not normal not to be upset after getting like grilled and everything. So I let myself be upset, but I also let myself be upset for a certain period of time, because I mean you got to move on from things. So then I had a big sulk for maybe like a week, and then you know went to movies, ate lollies, whatever. And then I sort of went, okay, what could I have done better? And the reality was, you know, that was my first ever video interview, so obviously there was insufficient practice. I was also came to the awareness of the fact that I get nervous very, very easily. I could practice a lot of times by myself, but then when you start recording it, you just feel so awkward. So I started practicing with my closest friends, because what I think is so interesting is you don't talk professionally with your closest friend, and therefore when you start talking in a professional sense, you actually feel very awkward. But that awkwardness is really good to practice, and the ability to speak while still awkward is something that will, you know, it's quite similar to what an interview situation is like. So that was good practice.
After that period of feeling kind of throttled and feeling hopeful, what kind of game plan did you have after university?
I decided to apply for the master's, which is a more technical analytics stream of work. So that was one of my first sort of action plans. I guess a lot of it is really a mirror onto yourself, how much more you want to improve yourself. So for me, again, what I thought I needed to differentiate was just becoming more technical, the statistical knowledge, but being a little bit more detailed and statistical would
help. Amassing more knowledge.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. In that sort of, I guess that's more in the academic sense. What I also thought was I just tremendously needed practice in interviews and public speaking. So when I was first starting my master's, I used to go into the lecture rooms maybe like half an hour before presenting and just practicing and practicing. And then throughout the year, the number of times I needed to practice before the actual presentation just got less and less. So,
Emily, I really like what you said about constantly practicing to get to where you want to be, because I feel that in this digital age, it seems as though we want everything instantaneously. And because of social media, we really only see people's highlight reels and not the struggles that they endured to get to where they are. So we often forget that being good at something really actually takes deep commitment, and success doesn't occur overnight. In terms of specific details, what do you think were the key things you did differently in both your application and interviews 1 year after you got rejected that made employees go, yes, we have to recruit her. She is a must.
First of all, you've done so many interviews, so the nerves were a lot lower in that sense. And then going back to the whole knowledge and understanding bit, you just, because you've studied for the entire year, you know, you've put your hand down, you've done the work, you just have such a deeper understanding of what you're talking about that it was so easy to just explain off the bat because you just know it so well. And that really comes across in interviews, because if you're trying to hide something or making stuff on the spot, it's actually really obvious to the interviewer. So that was one of the biggest changes.
What's the one tip that you think would have made the biggest difference in making a good impression with the interviewer?
I think the biggest difference is just the ability to link it to the job that you're applying for. So, I mean, when you're applying for part-time jobs, you sort of just answer and it's more like quite an easy conversation. But when you go to a corporate interview, you have to be very specific of how does that particular experience link to a day in that particular role. You know, I sort of said something that is really real. So I said, you know, it was incredibly sad as a kid to move 5 different schools because you need to make new friends pretty much every year in different cultures, different places. So it's quite tough for a kid growing up. But I also said, the reality of that is just the ability to make connections with people and to do that really fast is something that's carried through to even me in my career now, because as a consultant, you're in different project groups every few weeks. You might be on a different client in a different industry, and the ability to build connections with these people really fast, to work well with them, to understand how you operate with them is really important. So that's carried through.
5 years from that rejection, you've moved your way up the corporate ladder and now you're a senior analyst. So because you are a senior member of the team, you're responsible for processing applications and interviewing people for roles. Now that you're on the other side, what do you think really distinguishes people in a sea of applicants?
It's a little bit different for sort of more senior positions compared to grad roles, because for graduate positions, which I'm going to talk about more, is they have a very standardized process and they have a large amount of applications. So I guess just being very clear in what you want to highlight, having a standardized format, because in reality, if there's hundreds of applications, your resume probably would get 20 seconds, 30 seconds. And if there's interesting facts, maybe it'll get 2 minutes. But just understanding the reality of mass applications is that yours needs to be clear, stance, and it needs to stand out and highlight what is needed for that particular role, to be very specific.
And what about interviews? What do you look for?
The reality is you are going to work with the person that you interview if you end up offering them a job. So coming across as someone that's very willing to learn, that has a sense of curiosity to learn is really important. And just the attitude, because in that hour, you have that 1 hour to showcase your attitude to learn, your interest in that particular job, etc. You have that 1 hour to showcase that sort of personality, and just being able to highlight that would be really important, because the reality of a grad role is you're working around people that have been in the industry for 20 or 30 years. And the reality of that is you're going to be learning and learning a lot of things very fast.
Were there any bizarre interview moments?
We finished the interview and the other guy that interviewed with me for the guy actually said, I'll marry my daughter to him, but I don't think I'd give him the position. It's like, he was a very great and honest guy, but I mean, at the end of the day, you're applying for a job with specific requirements. You just have to be very careful about being too you that you forget how to be a bit more targeted and professional. And the answers, you know, they should be honest, but at the same time, how can you turn an honest answer into something that is related to that job?
Emily, highlighting why you should never accept defeat. It's not about banging your head on the wall. It's about saying, look, I didn't do well this time, but I'll go home, I'll train hard, and next time I will succeed.